All you have to do is seek and you can find. Amen. I think I have this before I preach, a special note and a very, very special occasion for Pastor David and Ginger. And they say this is a result of the special celebration we had for them. Dear Grace family, we feel so loved and overwhelmed at the surprise 25th wedding anniversary reception. Everything was beautiful, and the fellowship was just as sweet as the cake. Thank you for celebrating with us and sharing our joys of God's goodness. We love you and appreciate you making our anniversary so special. Sincerely, Pastor David Ginger Smith, Proverbs 3, 5, and 6. And so we just thank God for the family. Is Ginger helping out over there today? No, you just tell her, you give her a big hug for us. Would you do that? All right, if you turn in your Bibles, I want you to start. We're actually focusing our attention on Romans chapter 7, but let's use Romans chapter 8 as a focus of attention. I want us to launch out from Romans chapter 7, the last verses. So turn to Romans chapter 7, if you would, please. It's so good to see Mike Fields in the service today. Mike, I'm going to make sure that we don't go an hour and a half so you can endure. You are such a blessing, and what God has done in your physical being is a tremendous blessing as well. And we're so glad to have your daughter with us, too. She's visiting all the way from Maine. Did you bring any lobsters with you? No. Okay, next time. All right. I ended up last time by talking about the testimony of a man who is a gangster, a man who is Al Capone's bodyguard. And this man was used mightily in my life, taking him from place to place, him giving his testimony and seeing people saved. Every time he gave his testimony, people got saved. And how that God had so dramatically changed his life. He turned from being a gangster to being an individual who spread the gospel throughout the United States. His ministry was a prison ministry. He was the only individual who was ever given a presidential pass to visit any maximum security prison in the United States of America. He also had his major areas of evangelism in all the major towns, Detroit, Michigan, Chicago, New York. And it was those places that he was burdened about. And he would go into the red light districts and literally turn the place upside down. His name was known throughout the United States, in some cases throughout the world. It is unbelievable that God can take a person and change them around so much that their whole life and breath is the very gospel itself. And God is still in the business of doing that. Do you believe that? If anybody can change a person, it's the Lord Jesus Christ. And by the way, everybody in this room should be changed. I don't care how good of a home you had, Jesus Christ changes our lives, does he not? The Apostle Paul, I don't think he ever got over the fact that he was responsible for slaying one of the most godly men alive at that time. That man's name was Stephen, one of the first deacons. And he held the garments of those individuals that stoned him, and he gave consent. And it wasn't he was just a bystander that politely held coats. He was the one basically had the ability to sentence Stephen to death, and he did that day. Imagine what would have happened if Stephen would have had a full life of ministry. Spectacular testimony. Among the deacons, he was a standout along with Philip. And how that the Word of God says he was a man full of faith and full of the Holy Ghost, full of wisdom and full of power. Spectacular testimony. And as he was being stoned, the Word of God specifically says that the Holy Ghost enabled him to look up to heaven and to see the Lord Jesus Christ seated by the Father. How many believe that that's true? If the Bible says it's true, it's true. can't wait to meet Stephen in heaven one day. One of the most powerful sermons in all of Scripture was delivered by Stephen before he died. And so that is why the Apostle Paul, I believe, had reflection at time. He said, I'm the chiefest of sinners. And in this particular portion of Scripture, 7:24, O wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from this body of death? And he goes on to say, this is the way I'm delivered. I'm delivered through the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. I thank God through Jesus Christ our Lord. So then with my mind I myself serve the law of God, and with the flesh the law of sin. When a person gets saved, according to the Corinthian epistle, we have the mind of Christ. It doesn't mean we're perfect in our mind like Jesus Christ was. It just means this: we have the mind of Christ from the standpoint the Holy Spirit still delivers the message of the truth through his ministry and through the ministry of the Word of God. This is how he speaks to us today. Through the Word of God and through the ministry of the Holy Spirit. And the Lord Jesus Christ said, when he comes, he shall teach you all things whatsoever I've commanded you. And lo, I'm with you always, even to the end of the world. And this is an important setting, because the Apostle Paul realized more than anybody else that though he was a Christian as he wrote this wonderful epistle, so to speak, the doctrine of salvation and sanctification, he said, I have the struggles that you have. And in a number of areas he says said this, and in verse 15 of chapter 7 he says, that which I do I allow not, for what I would, that do I. The things that I should do, I don't do. And he goes on to say, not only do I not do the things that I should do, but the Word of God goes on to say, I hate the things that I would hate that I do. The things that I should hate the most, those things I do. He's talking as a Christian here. Jumping down to verse 19. Or actually, we need to hit 18, because he talks about his flesh. For I know that is in me, that is in my flesh, dwelleth no good thing. For to will is present. I want to do that which is right, but how to perform that which is good, I find not. I want to do right. I want to do the will of God. I want to be obedient to the Word of God. I want to be obedient to the Holy Spirit of God. But how to perform that which is good, I don't understand. And what he's saying is this: I don't understand in the flesh. The will is present, but how to perform that which is good, how to do right. I find it difficult to do that. And I think that's for everyone in this room here. And then the 19th verse, for the good that I would, I do not, but the evil which I would not, the things that I shouldn't do, I do. And so we talk about, first of all, the good that I should do, I don't do. That's sins of omission. And then the evil that I shouldn't do, that do I. Those are sins of commission. I commit those sins. And we're going to be responsible to God for both of those things. But as the Apostle Paul ends this, now we have that 8th chapter. And this important phrase, there is therefore. 8:1. There is therefore no condemnation to them which are in Christ, who walk not after the flesh but after the Spirit. And so what he is saying, it is not my personal ability for me to live the Christian life, but it's by trusting in Christ as my personal Savior. And the Holy Spirit entering into me. And because of that entering in, I have a new ability. And so let's look at these first verses. In 8:1, there is now, therefore, no condemnation. What are we talking about? There is now, therefore, no condemnation to those that are saved. To whom is there no condemnation? 8:1. To those who have truly trusted in Christ as personal Savior. For those who do not walk anymore under the authority and direction of the flesh. That doesn't mean you can't live a good moral life. A person can't live a good life. Some of the finest people I've ever met have been individuals that are unsaved and have their families in line, and they just love their family and they invest, and the product is absolutely wonderful. Probably the hardest job in the world to do is to raise a family for God. You realize that? And I think everybody in this room knows that, because of the fights that we have to go through with Satan trying to destroy our homes, trying to destroy our marriages. And so there's no condemnation to those individuals that have received Christ as Savior. Jesus Christ was condemned on the cross for those individuals' sins. Jesus paid for my sins. I received him as my Savior. And so the payment was put to my account. Now he has enough to pay for everybody's salvation in this room and everybody's salvation in the world. But that salvation is not put into your account until you receive the gift of salvation. And so one day I bowed my knee and bowed my heart to the Lord Jesus Christ, and he came in and he saved me. And so there is no condemnation that I will be facing, because Jesus took my condemnation on Calvary. Amen. And the Word of God says there's no condemnation to those individuals who have truly trusted in Christ and those who do not walk after the flesh but after the Spirit. And I know in some translations this phrase here, who walketh not after the flesh, is not in some of those, but I want you to know it is filled all throughout this passage of Scripture. And we'll see that. But they walk after the Spirit. And so those who do not walk after the flesh, and that is when I get saved, I should have the Holy Spirit dwelling within me. And the Holy Spirit tells me that, hey, listen, you can't live like that. You can't say those things you used to say. We're living in a very profane day, and everybody and their brothers seems to have a foul mouth. I walked into a housing development. I was visiting a family there, and there was a group of teenagers. There were probably about 10 of them. And let me tell you something. It was probably some of the most vulgar language back and forth that I've ever heard in young men talking to young ladies. Just as profane as you could imagine. And I remember as I walked up before I hit the door, and I was saying to myself in my heart, oh God. Oh God, thank you for delivering me from that stuff. And I was never as profane as that. But I did have a problem with cursing. But when Jesus Christ saved my soul, the Holy Spirit said, you can't talk like that anymore. Let no corrupt communication proceed out of thy mouth, but that which is given for the use of edification. And so I realized that my mouth belonged to God, my hands belong to God, my feet belong to God, my heart belongs to God. You're not your own, you're bought with a price. Therefore glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are his. And there's so many things that God changes, and he changed in your life too. Every man in this room, every woman in this room is a sinner. We're all sinners. We all deserve to go to hell. But for everyone who has received Christ, there's no condemnation. No condemnation. And so for those, there is now, therefore, no condemnation of those individuals that don't walk after the flesh, but walk after the Spirit, and that is they follow the appetites of the Spirit rather than the appetites of the flesh. What is the appetite of the Spirit? What's the desire of the Spirit? What is the glory of the Spirit? What is the pleasure of the Spirit? That we walk in holiness. That's what the desire, the passion, the pleasure of the Spirit is. That we walk in holiness, that we walk a different life, that our mouth changes, that our heart changes, that our eyes now belong to the Lord, and I will set no wicked thing before my eyes, and I'm going to make sure that what I do and what I think and what comes out of my mouth is pleasing to the Lord. And so, to those who do not walk after the flesh, they don't follow the appetites or the desires of the flesh, to those who do not give in to the pleasures of sin, to those individuals who are not living into the bondage of sinful addictions. I've seen so many individuals throughout the course of the years who have given up alcohol and given up drugs. And drugs is sweeping this nation unbelievably. And our president's trying to stop a lot of it, but the greatest way to stop it is just people getting saved so that they have the power to give that up. And so to whom is there no condemnation? Those that are truly saved. To those individuals that do not walk after the direction of the flesh anymore and the dominance of the flesh, to those individuals who are not living in the bondage to addiction. So what kind of condemnation will the believer not receive? What condemnation will you not receive if you're saved? Number one, eternal judgment in a place called hell. It's real. A lot of doctrines today, religions are trying to completely do away with the reality of hell. And whether you believe it or not, you will end up there one day, eternally, unless you receive Christ as personal Savior. I, as a believer, am not going to ever receive the condemnation of the hell. Number two, I'm not going to eternally suffer for my sinful deeds of the past. Someone has said that when a person gets to hell, one of the tortures or torments of hell is going to be, if you had a profane mouth, all those wicked and profane words would like an echo go across the corridors of hell. And those things that basically you gave yourself to are going to be reflected upon at that time with the message, no hope. You can't say, stop, that's enough. Those sins will ring through the corridors of hell. What kind of condemnation will the believer not receive? No judgment in the place called hell. No eternal suffering for sinful deeds of the past. And no separation from God. I thought about this long. You know, have you ever thought about the fact, I wonder if God's ever going to get tired of me? You ever thought about that? Yeah. Me living with him for eternity? God, you know who I am? Hey, listen, when you get that glorified God body, you're going to be a lot better. I think it is a tragedy. And by the way, the word thanatos means, one of the key meanings is separation from God. Not only does a person go to hell and have punishment for sins of the past, and in this eternal environment of torture in the dark, bitter place, but never be able to be in the presence of God. Never to have fellowship with God. I'm so thankful that one day we as believers will have fellowship with God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. A personal and intimate. And so therefore, there is no condemnation to those who are truly saved. Number two, the law of the Spirit liberates us from the law of sin. What is the law of the Spirit? In verse 2, for the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus hath made me free from the law of sin and death. That is, before you and I got saved, we had depended upon our own wisdom, our own strength, our own emotional ability to resist sin. Now you can become a good, so to speak, a semblance of a good person. You can be an honest person in business. You can be an individual that raises your family, supports them, spends time with your wife, spends time with your family, do all the things that we would call Christian. And yet Satan would like to drag you to hell just as easily as the worst addict or drunkard in the world. Because hell is hell, no matter what the sin. And if you think that you're good enough to get into heaven by your own works, you'll never make it. Because it takes the shed blood of the Lord Jesus Christ, acceptance of that, faith in that, to go to heaven. So the law of the Spirit, here's a definition that I've cloned. What is the law of the Spirit? The law of the Spirit is the Holy Spirit's control, controlling influence over the believers, giving them supernatural ability to have victory over sin. The Holy Spirit living within us, giving us the ability to have victory over sin. And when He cleans you up, it's better than Mr. Clean. God has the ability of changes. We'll never be perfect. Remember this, Romans chapter 7, the things that I should do. I still struggle with this flesh. But I don't have to be ruled by the dominance of the flesh. I want to be ruled by the dominance of the Holy Spirit of God. That is, I want to yield to Him. I want to be under His control. I want to follow His message and pattern as far as my life is concerned. And I think it is important for us to see the Word of God talks about us in the following of the direction of the Holy Spirit of God. And so when going over the definition, the law of the Spirit is the Holy Spirit controlling or influencing our lives, the lives of believers, and giving them supernatural ability to have victory over sin. The Holy Spirit does a number of things to us as He enters our life. Number one, the Word of God says in Ephesians 1, verses 12 through 14, the Holy Spirit seals a believer upon trusting Jesus for salvation. That we should be to the praise and glory who first trusted in Christ, in whom ye also trusted after that ye heard the truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also after that ye believed, ye were sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise, which is the earnest of our inheritance unto the redemption of the purchased possession. So number one, when a person gets saved, the Holy Spirit comes in and seals your salvation. Number two, the Holy Spirit then becomes the greatest encourager in our lives. The very word Holy Spirit means one called alongside, a dear friend. It is used for the word encourager or comforter. And so the Lord Jesus Christ in His message time and time again in the Gospel of John 14 through 16 speaks of the Holy Spirit as being the comforter. He is the one that encourages you during the dark times. He is the one that gives you strength that you don't have during the most difficult times in your life. He is an encourager. He is a comforter. John 14, 16. The Holy Spirit is also the master teacher. He is the one who enlightens. John 14, 26 and 27. And He shall teach you all things whatsoever I've commanded you. And lo, I'm with you always, even to the end of the world. And if you and I understand anything in Scripture, it's not because of your supernatural intellectual ability. It's simply because you have the power from influence of God Himself and the person of the Holy Spirit teaching you to understand the principles of the Word of God. Without Him, you can't understand and I can't understand. Even the simplicity of salvation, the Holy Spirit had to help you and me in. The Holy Spirit seals us. He is our greatest encourager and comfort. The Holy Spirit is the master teacher. He enlightens, He instructs, He educates. The Holy Spirit is the great reprover. That word reprove in John 16, verses 7 through 15. He shall convict or reprove the world of sin, of righteousness, of judgment to come. And that is, He is the one who comes alongside and says to you, hey, listen, don't do that. Or do that. Go ahead. Have you ever just about passed up some individual and God has laid it on your heart to pass a gospel track out to that person and you get heading your direction and all of a sudden the Holy Spirit said, turn around and go back and give that guy a track or talk to that person? That wasn't just you being a good person. It was the Holy Spirit saying, listen, I want to use you in this person's life. Now turn around and go back there. I remember Hugo Kahn, a gentleman from Korea, I was on my way home. I was tired. I wanted to get home. I just had finished school. I was going to a job, and I was traveling through one of the main roads in Greenville. And as I was traveling, I saw this guy looking around with a backpack on his back, and he was looking all different directions. And there's a bridge that goes across there, and I think it was on Church Street. I think that's the name of the street. But as I was going across that, the Holy Spirit says, turn around and go back and get that guy. And we had a little debate. I said, now, Lord, I've got to be at work today at a certain time. And the Holy Spirit says, turn around. I said, well, Holy Spirit, I don't know. He had three directions to go. He was looking around, and certainly he's good. By the time I get around here and turn around, I've got to get over this bridge, and I'm going to go back, and he's not going to be there. And so finally, the Holy Spirit won, and I turned around, and I went back. I got to that intersection, and he wasn't there. I said, Lord, am I through? No, turn right over here. And so I turned right, and I ran into him. And I started to share the gospel with him, and I didn't know whether he was playing games with me or not, but I invited him back to our house, 101 Mills Avenue, to eat. I did this to my wife a number of times, and she still loves me. And I brought a lot of people off the street. And I brought this guy into the house, and I said, honey, do you have anything to eat? And this is the truth. The only thing we had is pancakes that we can mix water with at that particular time. And so she kind of, you know, one of those white things, pulled me into the kitchen and said, we don't have any food. And I said, well, let's give him what we do have. Well, short end of the story, he ended up staying with us for a week. Yeah, a week. And what I did is I had this guy working with me. I had him cutting lawns. And I said, this guy doesn't know anything. He doesn't even know how to cut a lawn. He doesn't even know how to start up a lawnmower. You know, those kind that you crank up. And so he worked with me about a week. But you know something? We'd have devotions with him every night. He professed to know Christ. He went to church with us. And when he left at the end of the week, we dropped him off at a bus station. And we went back to the house, and God just had blessed that week with jobs like unbelievable. And he helped me out with every one of them. And he left it after being with us for about a week. And when he left and we went to clean up the bedroom, my wife found, I can't remember, it was to the side of the lamp or underneath the lamp. She picked it up, and all that money that I had given him, he left all of it. And
There are times when the Holy Spirit, I believe this, I believe as we walk with the Lord and we try and live for the Lord, He has the right to stop us. And there's times I have stopped and I've got out of the car. There's times that I've seen someone off to the side and you have things to do, but the Lord says you need to go back there and help them jack up the car and change that tire. You need to go back. See that person out there? They're just looking around at the car and they need some help. I think that's the Holy Spirit giving us an opportunity to witness to people in need. And I believe if we were much more connected to the Spirit of God, we'd have many more opportunities to be used to the Lord. And so, He convicts us of sin and of judgment and of the world to come. And then the Holy Spirit empowers us to witness and lead others to Christ and gives us the courage to stand against sin. And it doesn't always come easy. I remember when the Lord just had transformed my life and most of my friends, 90% of my friends were unsaved. And the Holy Spirit started working and said, if you really love this guy, and I had a lot of players on the football team that I was very, very close to, and the Holy Spirit began to deal with my heart and say, listen, you need to go and witness to every one of those friends that you have on that football team that you've had friendship with throughout the course of years. And so I went into homes, and I had the privilege of sitting down with football players and their families and tell them what Jesus had done for me. I think it was one of the greatest times in my life. And then I remember how that it began to be spread that I was a fanatic. And I really could have been a lot more sold out to the Lord. But you know something? When you're just unusual and you're talking about Jesus, you're a fanatic. But it was one of the greatest times of life. When my friends would begin to tell their dirty jokes, I know that they didn't understand. They weren't saved. I expected a hog to act like a hog. And so I would just turn and walk away. And then after my testimony got more established, then I would start witnessing, say, you know something? That really isn't pleasing to the Lord. And you know what you need to do? You need to have your mouth washed out with Jesus Christ. And He gives you more boldness as you go along to take a stand. That's not you. It's just that you begin to love the Lord Jesus so much, you've got to take a stand. You just can't sit by and let sin happening in your presence. The Holy Spirit gives us the power to witness. When is the last time you talked to one person about their need for salvation? I believe this is the day, and you talk to evangelists and they say, hey, listen, the plague of churches is no one is trying to reach anybody for Christ. Very few. And the Word of God says if you're a Spirit-filled believer, then you're going to have a desire to tell others what Christ did for you. How many here were saved through the testimony of a Sunday school teacher or a neighbor or someone? How many were saved? Raise your hand. Stand up. You were saved. Stand up. You were saved by a human being witnessing to you and leading you to the Lord Jesus Christ. Stand. Don't be afraid. Either that or you just got saved by osmosis or something like this. The Holy Spirit, you got saved, you got the Spirit. Or you were reading the Word of God and you got saved. You can be saved that way. But you realize that someone, human being, witnessed to you for you to get saved? Now, let me ask you a question. How do you think other people are going to get saved? How are other people going to get saved? Through you and me? You can be seated. Thank you very much. I believe probably close to 90% of people in this room, you got saved because of some human being. Where's our boldness?
Where's our burden? God help us in the day. This is probably one of the most needy days that I've lived in, that people need our Lord. They need our Lord. And the Holy Spirit commissions for service. The Holy Spirit is our protector. The law of the Holy Spirit controls and influences our lives and helps us to live a different life. The law of the Spirit holds us accountable and responsible to be obedient to the Word of God. And we are punished in this life for our disobedience to the Holy Spirit, and we are rewarded both now and will be for all eternity through for our obedience to the Holy Spirit. And so when, in a nutshell, talking about the Holy Spirit as opposed to the flesh, this is the ultimate, the difference between walking in the Spirit and walking in the flesh, and that is the flesh brings death. The Spirit brings life. Romans 8:6. The unbeliever is at war with God, but the believer has peace with God. Romans 8:6-7. The flesh desires to please itself. The Spirit desires to please God. That's the context of these first 8 verses. And I conclude with this. Before you were saved, you had no direction in life other than what you, so to speak, felt. Well, I feel like doing this. Or this is what I'm going to do with my life. And this is the way I'm going to talk. This is the kind of person I'm going to be. Everybody's profane. In order for me to fit in, I've got to be profane. And so the only direction you have is looking in this world and find out, well, that's a pretty good person. I think I need to find out what made him successful as far as his living is concerned. And you can be successful and go to hell. But when a person gets saved, there should be a difference. When a person gets saved, one of the first things that the Lord will give you a love for is the Word of God. Desire the sincere milk of the Word that you may grow thereby. And later on in this chapter, we realize that the Word of God talks about the Holy Spirit joining with us in prayer. And we had went over this past Wednesday about the fact that the Holy Spirit groans. And that is, he doesn't talk. What he does is just like, and the best picture I could possibly give is when our son passed away and my wife called up, all I heard her say was scream out my name. And I just knew something bad had happened. I hung up the phone. I immediately went home. And then when I got home and they were trying to work on our son on the floor and I went into the bedroom, the only thing that she could do was groan. It's all she could do. All she could do. But she didn't have to say anything. Did you know that when you're going through the worst times in life, the Word of God says that the Holy Spirit has such compassion and such love for you, that when you get on your knees and cry out to God, so does the Holy Spirit. So does the Holy Spirit. You don't hurt without the Holy Spirit hurting. And so the Holy Spirit, one of the key ways of connecting to the Holy Spirit and this encouragement and peace that you need is to cry out to God, the Holy Spirit being right next to you, saying, I know how you feel. I'm with you. I'm going to support you. You can make it through this without saying anything. Without saying anything. Folks, the Word of God says, walk after the Spirit. You know what the idea there is? The idea is this: the Holy Spirit is taking the lead. And what am I doing? I'm following him. When it talks about being led by the Spirit, it means the Holy Spirit's heading a certain direction. And that direction is a holy direction. What do I have to do? I have to get behind him and follow him. That's what the Lord wants. And it doesn't take a super Christian to do that. It just takes a Christian that says, listen, my life belongs to the Lord, and I'm going to listen to the Holy Spirit of God. Heads bowed, eyes closed, no one looking around. The law of the flesh is do whatever you want to do. Say whatever you want to say. Think whatever you want to think. The law of the Spirit says, I have called you unto a holy life. You're not your own. You're bought with a price. Therefore, glorify God in what you say, in what you do, in what you think. And friends, if we will do that, I'm telling you what, you'll have peace with God rather than being at war with God. You will have true abundant life as opposed to abundant death. You will please God and not yourself. How many would say here today, there's a day where I trusted in Christ as my personal Savior, and I know for a fact, if I were to die this day, I know that I would go to heaven based upon Scripture. I can give you a Scripture reason, Pastor. Would you raise your hand? I know that. Amen. Praise the Lord. Is there anyone here? And this is just for you, and we're not going to embarrass you, please. That is not our heart's desire. Our heart's desire is that you know the same Jesus that we know. How many would raise their hand and say, you know something? I do not know if I were to die today, I would go to heaven. Pray for me. Would you just raise your hand in the quietness of this hour and say, I need the Lord. Pray for me. Just raise your hand. Anyone? Yes, thank you so much. Yes, thank you so much. Any others? Any others? Real quickly. Listen, we don't want you to go to hell. You can leave and you can reject the Lord. That's up to you. But God has brought you here today to change your life. And you're going to have an opportunity, just a moment, to come forward and for someone to have the opportunity to lead you to Christ. How many believers here today would say this? You know something? I know that I do not walk in the Spirit. You say, well, no one does. No, you know. You know what your needs are. And by uplifting your hand, you say, oh, just, I need your prayers as we conclude the service. I am not walking in obedience to the Holy Spirit of God in my life. I'm not even really close to him. And I need your prayers. Would you just raise your hand? Yes, 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 yes. Thank you, yes, yes, thank you. Everyone stand to your feet if you would, please. 515, near the cross. What we're going to do right now is we're going to have an invitation. We're going to sing a song. And those individuals, you raised your hand, you want to be saved. Well, we have men and women standing by that can show you today in the Word of God how to be saved. And I beg you not to leave this place not knowing Christ. You don't know if you'll ever have an opportunity again. And this is the greatest time when you know your need, you raised your hand. And so we're going to invite you to come in just a moment and just, Christian, you knowing this. And you can look around and say, well, nobody, you know, really, not too many people are walking in Spirit. I'm pretty good. I think what needs to happen is we need to have a revolution in our hearts. We need to have a revival. We need to revolt against the flesh and say to ourselves, Holy Spirit of God, I want you to control me. I want you to help me in what I think and what I say and what I do. I need your help to live the Christian life to glorify God. There are individuals that you would like to join us in membership, and we invite you to do that as well. There are those that need to be baptized. And we invite you to come and just obey the Lord. So as we sing this invitation hymn, would you allow the Lord to work in your heart? Would you be obedient this morning? As we sing, we invite you to come.
Jesus, keep me near the cross.
We invite you to come. You trust to trust Christ as your personal Savior.
See.